the scriptures, Darren will bring us the message.
Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand, and do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of our Lord.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome along to church. It's lovely to see you all here. My wife and I, a while ago, spent 2 years ministering in Canberra. And one of the things I loved the most about Canberra was the seasons. Canberra actually gets seasons, which we have warmth here, but we don't get seasons, do we? It's either hot or not so hot. That's all we get. And one of the things in Canberra is that they say that at the church I was pastoring at, that you know it's going to get cold when it's time for Anzac Day. So the first Sunday around Anzac Day, they turn on all the floor heating, and they actually have all these bars under the floor to heat the floors, and people go and sit where they can put their feet over one of those bars and just, you know, suck up some heat through the floors. And not so much here, right? It's mid-autumn and 32 degrees yesterday, so I've turned into a boring old person now, where I've suddenly noticed weather. And it's a part of aging. Your hair goes whiter, it falls out. You start actually liking long-form cricket, and you watch the weather forecast. It's all part of it. The passages of middle age, and it's very depressing, but it's life. So next term, we're going to study a series in the morning and at night, as we always do. And just so you know, and I'll be sending out a Bible study book for home groups who want to follow along, but we're going to look at Matthew 8 through 12 in our morning series, and the topic is On the Road with Jesus. So it's a lovely part of Matthew's gospel in which he narrates really the first or the beginnings of Jesus' kind of ministry, traveling as a traveling teacher and proclaiming the arrival of the kingdom of God. And there's a really neat Bible study guide that you can use for your home groups that goes along in the same pace. So we go through Matthew 8 through 12 in the term. And then at night time, we're going to look at Ezra. It's a book that it's not always as well known, but it's a wonderful book for us because it's about trusting God in tough times. They've just come back from this terrible 7-year exile in Babylon, and they're having to trust God when things look pretty lean. And I think that applies a lot to us today. So today and next Sunday, we're going to have just occasional sermons as we're in school holidays. And I thought today that we'd actually look at worry and look at a couple of key texts. Now, I'm always committed to preaching through books of the Bible, because God gives us his word through human authors led by the Holy Spirit, and each author, as led by the Spirit, is making an argument, and that book fits into God's canon, this perfect God-given mosaic of his great salvation plan, which all culminates in Jesus. So it's good to study the books as God gave them to us and work through a book. It's good occasionally to also look at just a few key texts and on a particular subject. And this morning the subject is worry. Let's pray, and then we'll examine a few different things together. Dear Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful weather. We are blessed, Lord. We live in such a beautiful part of the world, and Father, how often we can take it for granted. Lord, we have so much. We are so comfortable. Father, we worry. We do get anxious, Lord, and yet we are so well provided for. Father, we thank you for your grace to us. We thank you for drawing us here this morning. when, Lord God, the beach and the outdoors is always luring, but we've come together, Lord, in this gospel gathering. And Father, it is so important for your saints here this morning to be built up in your word, to be equipped to live our lives before you as followers of Jesus. Father, we pray that you would help us this morning to come away with a greater sense of trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. As a young boy growing up in this church, our first pastor was American, and his son was my age, and we went to school together, and we were very good friends. But I was told every day how America is bigger and better at us in everything. And I kind of went through my formative years with a permanent chip on my shoulder. And I was told American food is better, American clothing is better, American sport is better, American, you know, candy is better, and American movies are better, and American bands are better. And often I had to agree. I had this kind of sense of kind of a cultural cringe where, like, for example, you had these wonderful American bands and artists and musicians like Bruce Springsteen, and we had Cold Chisel, which I thought wasn't quite the same. And comes to movies, like for me as a child of the 70s and 80s, the franchise was Star Wars, as you all know. That was formative. America had Star Wars, we had Mad Max. And it was kind of a budget sci-fi filmed in the outback for about $5 and a can of Coke. And you can kind of tell when you watch Mad Max. It was very Australian, but it had a message, and it pictured a post-apocalyptic future in which the entire world has turned into the Australian outback, which is not a good thing, and people are going around, all these terrible bands of bandits going around stealing fuel. What did they know? And so we come now to the latest crisis in our modern times. And if you grew up in the 70s or even earlier, the 60s and 70s and 80s, we had kind of like reasonable kind of a stability, didn't we? We'd hear the occasional bit of a war overseas, but it was reasonably stable. Suddenly the last 10 years have been everything but stable, and the rate of change is escalating. We saw things happen we thought would never happen in Australia during the COVID pandemic. I'm not going to be political, but we had scenes of people passing babies over plastic barricades. Crazy stuff. We had people hoarding great big shopping carts full of toilet paper for some reason, even though it wasn't even a gastrointestinal virus. And now people are going around buying jerry cans at Bunnings and filling them up full of petrol, and especially diesel. Diesel has become, you know, sacred, hasn't it, in Australia. So we're going through another crisis, and we're seeing that the world powers that were so stable for so long are less stable. And we live in a time of great global anxiety, and a lot of us feel the frustration of seeing government, and you don't have to have a political view here, but we see government that doesn't plan long term. Everything now is about the next election, and we're seeing the fruit of that in no fuel stores. We're seeing just this growth in things like homelessness. Now when I was a little child, you had to travel to Brisbane or even Sydney to see homeless people. Now they're on every corner. They sleep in their cars. They live in our park around the corner. There are people living in their cars, even people who work as waiters and working in hospitality, who can't afford to stay anywhere. It's an anxious time, and we can be easily prone to fall into the anxiety of our age. If you spend too long looking at media of any form, you're going to be anxious. Well, as Christians, yes, we are also people who are prone to all kinds of illness and weaknesses, including anxiety. But as Christians, we have the only true remedy to anxiety. And we should be less anxious, more at peace, and more rejoicing than anyone. And I want to look just at a few key texts which show us why we should be so different to our worried neighbours and friends and family who don't know Jesus. So we'll look here at four reasons why we shouldn't be that anxious. I mean, firstly, we're told to bring our anxieties to God. Pray them to God. Secondly, remember, God is in complete control. And thirdly, trust that God will watch over us. He'll care for us. And finally, comfort your anxious brethren. And that's the points today. So our first point is this: worried, tell God all about it. And this is looking at the text we just had read from Kay. And I'm going to read it again, but just read a little slowly. I want you to really focus upon the commands here, the words of assurance. And this is such important word we need to hear in this particular time and season. Paul writes, "The Lord is at hand." God hasn't left the building. And he's saying too that the coming of the Lord is imminent. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And finally, brothers, "Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Isn't that a beautiful word? I love my grandma. She's gone to glory a long time ago, but she lived in a lovely house up on Budrum and Burnett Street, the first house on Budrum. And grandma was a lovely lady, very regal, looked a bit like the Queen Mother. But she had a habit, every morning she'd read The Australian, and you go and see her about 10 a.m. and she'd just finished reading The Australian. And you go and see her there, and she'd be there with her brow furrowed, my dad knows this, with complete worry. The news is terrible, there's all these terrible things happening in Australia and abroad, oh, things are so bad. And grandma would just ruminate for hours after reading The Australian, and she did it every morning. And that was when things were good. But we see here the remedy, and yes, it's good to be informed, but The Australian is presenting you the news, or all media presents you the news with God censored out of it. It's showing you the symptoms. It's not showing you the remedy. And if you read The Australian or the Courier Mail or your news feed on Facebook or whatever, you'll get the impression that the world is out of control, that things are going haywire, and that any crazy world leader could press the button, you know, and things are so desperate. But we need to come back to God's word. We need to restore a biblical outlook. It's like putting your glasses back on. You're walking around in a blur, worried and anxious, because you're not seeing things as they really are. The Bible is not presenting just some religious ideas. It presents the truth that God has given us. Divine truth, divine revelation. And he says here, the Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious. What do you do when you are anxious? And you will be anxious because we live in an anxious age. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When you're anxious, when you're worrying, pray. If you're in Christ this morning, the almighty, all-seeing, all-powerful creator God who created and sustains the universe and is involved at every level, he is keeping all things going by his great power, and you get to talk to him through Jesus, who is in the heavenly throne room interceding for you even now, so that your prayers are offered because they are heard through the Son, and the Son is well-pleasing to the Father. The almighty creator of the universe invites you to pray and bring all of your requests, your concerns, your anxieties to him in prayer. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful truth? We're told in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, we are to cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. See that? The almighty, all-powerful, all-seeing God cares for you. Isn't that beautiful? Cast your anxieties on God. And we read here in that first reading in Philippians that we are to have a heart of thanksgiving. He's saying with all thanksgiving. And this is why we need to reset our minds. We are so prone to just falling into the cultural climate. We're so prone to looking just like our neighbours, just worried and not looking to God. And I often hear that Christians often live with a knowledge of God, but we live as if we were agnostics, like the world around us, worrying and just getting busy and getting caught up. We're told to bring it to God. And to slow down, remember He is God. And what's the return of walking in constant prayer? Paul says the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful assurance, isn't it? Make no mistake, there is a spiritual realm. We are in spiritual warfare. You're either dead in sin, you already belong to the enemy, or if you have faith in Christ, you've been saved out of the kingdom of darkness, saved by Christ, and we're told to report to the commander. Bring all of your concerns, your woes to him in prayer, no matter how small, no matter how great. And note too, the remedy to anxiety is also is this. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That means spending less time reading bad news, more time with family, more time with church, more time in God's Word, reading it and studying it and praising God for His grace, His love for us. That's so important for us to remember that we're told to think about these things, not think about all the bad stuff. We are to be innocent of evil, but mature in understanding God's good will, God's word, God's plan. We're told to set our minds on the things of the Spirit in Romans 8, verse 5. And there's a very key proverb I'd like to just put before you, a really key proverb. Proverbs 4:23, the writer says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Be very careful what you let into your heart, into your children's hearts, through their eyes, through their ears. What is your TV menu like? What is your internet menu like? Social media is not your friend, by the way. The way they make money is by creating infinity scroll. They develop an algorithm of you. Everything you pause on, they are reading you and designing advertising for you. And this is an established fact that they rely on addiction to be profitable. So please know that anything which has an infinity scroll is not your friend. And that's not usually thinking on these things which are good and profitable. And note, you know, garbage in, garbage out. We read in Proverbs, "Watch over your heart, for from it flow the springs of life." More time in God's Word, less time on Facebook. Well, point two, worried. Remember that God is in charge. I once heard a pop star saying, "I'm so worried about how terrible things are on the international level, how terrible these terrible leaders are who are, you know, rattling sabers, that I just smoke so much marijuana now just to deaden the pain, to deaden the worry." Well, if you're a wealthy pop star with no foundation for life, for living, no foundation for morality, that's where you end up. You anesthetize yourself. And in Australia, that looks often like alcohol, to just deaden the worry, deaden the pain. But we have an almighty God. And there's so many scriptures that tell us that God is in complete control. Isaiah 46, verse 9, God himself speaks. He says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will accomplish all my purpose." Isn't that wonderful? Isaiah 46, 9 through 10. What are we worried about? God says, "Remember, I am God and there is no other." He's declared the end from the beginning. He says, "My counsel shall stand, I will accomplish all my purpose." It's such a wonderful, wonderful truth. God is in complete control. And that's the key theme of Revelation, is John is given a glimpse behind the heavenly curtain. Things are looking pretty dark in the Roman Empire. They're cracking down on Christianity. Christianity, the church, looks very weak. But John sees Jesus sitting at the Father's side, reigning in glory. in complete control, coming again soon, we have nothing to worry about. And more than that, if you are in Christ, God only allows suffering into your life for your good. And that's hard to even kind of imagine how that could be true, but God is so great that he permits things to come our way, the waves, the trials, the suffering, the loneliness, the seasons of grief, to refine us, to make us love this world less, trust ourselves less, love him more, lean on him more. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28 is one to underline and come back to. It's such a profound truth. All things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. What a wonderful truth. Well, point three, worried? Trust that God will care for you. In a whole heap of polls, people were asked, what is your greatest fear? What is the greatest fear of all? Number one was, I'll give you number two first. Number two was death. Number one was public speaking. So this means that people would rather be in the coffin than giving the eulogy. That's quite a surprise, isn't it? Public speaking, number one. When I was in high school, my dad kindly, I use the word in inverted commas, enrolled me in speech and drama. And so suddenly I had to give all these speeches before a team. And there was two classes with 60 students, 58 of which were girls. And so my friend and I were the only boys, and I was incredibly intimidated. And I had to give speeches to these classes. And I can recall the night before giving a big speech, just not sleeping a wink. Just kind of soaking in all the kind of the worried hormones, you know, and just soaking in anxiety, just worried and just hoping that the day would never dawn. And then it does dawn and there's no escape. You have to go give the speech. I worried a lot. But Jesus says, bring your worries to him. He cares for us. Matthew 6:25, I love one of the most wonderful, often quoted passages. Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father cares for them. Are you not of more value than they? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful assurance? I often walk my dog in the morning and we have all these birds flying around and all this different bird life and bird calls. And I just think, every one of those birds, God is watching over. You know, he's intimately involved in his creation. He didn't just wind it up and let it go. And he says, I'm worth much more than those beautiful birds flying by every morning. God is in control and he cares for us. And so I pray this morning that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you do, God is your heavenly Father. You are now clothed in Jesus' righteousness, invited to approach the very heavenly Holy of Holies in prayer, bringing all of your anxieties, all of your concerns. God cares for you intimately. And I always say that for a Christian, there's no such thing as an untimely death. There can be from our perspective. But if we trust that God cares for us, he's in control, when a Christian dies, God has called them home. And so this is why I've ridden motorbikes for so many years, which, not that you should always do that, but I felt like, well, God will bring me home in his good timing. Doesn't mean I won't come off, of course, but God knows the time of my death. You know, he's numbered the hairs on my head. Doesn't mean you tempt the Lord, of course. So motorbikes, you can debate that one. But Isaiah 12, verse 2, Isaiah says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. Isn't that beautiful? Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for Yahweh God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. There's so many words of assurance of God's loving care for all who are in Christ. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. God cares for you. And if you are in Christ, you are his beloved child. And you can trust him to care for you, and he wants you to come before him daily, more than once daily, but often in prayer. Bring all of your anxieties, concerns to him. Tonight we're going to study Psalm 88. It's the darkest psalm in the Psalter, and it teaches us to bring all of our hurts to God. The Psalm 88 is much like Job. The psalmist is hurting. He finds no relief, but he prays it all to God, which is the right place to go, because only God is willing and able to care for you always. Well, finally, point four is comfort others as God comforts you. If you were a kid in the church about 30, 40 years ago like I was, you might know that song, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion." I won't sing it. My voice is like a crow in distress, so we won't do that. But it's a beautiful, beautiful song. It's a beautiful, beautiful verse. And it comes from Isaiah 35:10. And Isaiah was writing 100 years before the exile. And he even names, through the Holy Spirit, the man God would use to bring Israel back from exile is Cyrus. And we'll look at that next Sunday morning. We're going to look at Isaiah 43, one of the most beautiful songs of God's assurance for his children. And God names Cyrus, you know, a century before he's born, saying, my man Cyrus will send you home. And so this song of Isaiah 35 is talking about coming back to the promised land because of God's grace. Even though they had sinned grievously, God wasn't done with them. And we have that verse that says, "And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be on their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Then in the same song, Isaiah writes in verses 4 and 5, "Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with the recompense of God. He will come and save you." Now, we live in a different era in salvation history. We're not in exile in Babylon. But we often read, especially in Hebrews, that we are in a kind of a way in a spiritual exile. We're still waiting. We're sojourners. We're not home yet. We're waiting for our heavenly homecoming. We're waiting for the restoration of all things. And though the kingdom of God is broken into this world through the ministry and the mission of Jesus, we still live amidst the kingdom of darkness. And we see people on a local and on a global scale acting terribly under the control of the evil one. But we're told God hasn't changed. God is going to save us. He's going to redeem us. And we're told that, "Say to those among us with an anxious heart, be strong, fear not." God is coming with a vengeance. He is coming with a vengeance. Very soon, the return of Jesus will not be as a baby born in Bethlehem. It will be as Lord and Judge. I love that verse. The Bible says, "Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord." And I think a lot of knees are going to be bowed in grief and terror when they realize that the one they have spurned is Lord and Judge and God. We're told that the time is short. We are to live in eager expectation of the return of the King. This world is not going to end because of melting glaciers. Those things, you know, you can have a discussion about how much of an impact we have on the world. But the point is, the world will end not by alien invasion, not by nuclear bomb. It will end when Jesus returns. And we need to trust God in that. And we need to comfort each other. And we are called to walk together closely. And that's why coming along on Sunday and going to a home group or a Bible study here is very helpful. Because we're told to live lives together, get to know each other, pray for each other until we can be honest with each other. And say, "I'm suffering, I'm struggling, I'm hurting, I'm anxious." And then we comfort each other. Listen to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Isn't that wonderful? God comforts us. And as we study his word and as we bring our hurts to God, we are comforted. And we're called to comfort each other with the same supernatural comfort God gives us through his Spirit. And if you're in Christ today, God's Spirit indwells you. And his Spirit enables you to read the word of God and it comes alive. It's like looking at a 3D puzzle for anyone who's not in Christ. They can appreciate the fine writing, but they can't see God speaking until you come to Jesus in faith. And then you read the word of God and you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. And you are comforted and you are assured. And we can read the words of Jesus and just be brought to tears by his grace, his truth, his beauty. And we're called to comfort each other. One thing I found early in ministry is that sometimes things get really discouraging. And you can't just pray your way out on your own. You need to say to a good, mature Christian brother, I'm hurting, I'm suffering, I'm discouraged. I'm thinking of quitting. And they come alongside you and you pray together. And it makes all the difference in the world. And when you know a fellow Christian in your home group, in your family, in your church, and they're struggling, whether it's loneliness or grief or physical illness or depression, they need time with you. They need you to come alongside them with a hot meal maybe and just pray with them. We are called to comfort each other as God comforts us. Corrie ten Boom, who of course survived that terrible Nazi death camp, wrote this: if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest. Isn't that a wonderful word? You go to your local QBD, all these bookshops saying, look within. You know, look within, find the divinity within. No, you don't. You might find a few ulcers. There's nothing within that's going to help. There's a book years ago, I'm okay, you're okay. No, we're not. That book title was wrong. We're sinners, we're broken, but God gave us his son. And if you're in Jesus, you are a new creation. And we can look at God and be at rest. Psalm 121 verse 1, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. Isn't that wonderful? The God who made all things we see. This Sunshine Coast is a pretty good place to appreciate God's creation, isn't it? Try appreciating it in Ipswich. It's not quite the same. I'll get in trouble for that later. I always do. But we live in a very beautiful part of the world, don't we? And the creation here is so beautiful. The beaches are so beautiful. All the trees, the bird life, the flora, the fauna. This is God's creation. And yet he made us. And he cares for even you and me. And so as we take away today, just remember, take your worries to God in prayer. When you ruminate, remember to treat that as a trigger to pray. Pray more. Pray together. When we begin to worry, remember that God is sovereign and in perfect control. He's working all things together for his glory and for the good of those who love him. Remember that we're told to trust and obey the Lord. He cares for you. He cares for you. He watches over you every millisecond of every day. And finally, comfort each other. Walk together in a self-giving love, lifting up, encouraging those who are growing anxious and faint-hearted. That's how we're called to walk. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for these scriptures we've read about your love for us. Father, we read of your providence. We read that you are all-powerful, you are almighty, you are all-seeing, you are the Creator God, Lord, and yet you are good and holy, and you are love. And Father, we read in your holy word that you sent your Son Jesus, that we could be forgiven our sin. Lord God, covered in his shining righteousness, welcome to your very heavenly throne room to pray to you, to worship you, to delight in you as your beloved children in whom you delight, because we are followers of the Lamb. So Father, help us this week, Lord God, to look to the world less, to look inward less, to look to you more and be at rest. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.